At the Consumer Electronics Show this year, a special emphasis on health tech. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. Sure, CES had the snazziest new wearables and fitness gear, but the show this year also debuted new advancements in what's known in the industry as femtech, technology targeted at health issues affecting cisgender women, as well as some intersex and transgender people. It's an area with historic underinvestment, but some companies in this space are now getting a lot of attention. For example, Clue, the menstrual cycle tracking app, which has around 12 million users. In 2020, only about 3% of all health tech funding went to this space, but that sparse investment may be changing. Monique Mrazek is a senior global health tech industry specialist for the International Finance Corporation. That's part of the World Bank Group. I asked Monique about what femtech actually encompasses.
So typically it includes women's health, and oftentimes it's including solutions in and around fertility, pregnancy, and even healthcare management of babies and infants.
How big is this sector right now?
You know, it's really been growing. It's been largely, you know, underserved for a number of years. There's broad estimates sort of put the market anywhere, you know, sort of between 10 and 20 billion today. And estimates are putting it upwards of 50 to 65 billion by 2025 to 2027.
Wow.
Globally.
And which areas seem to be getting the most investment within the femtech sector?
A lot of dollars have flowed into the solutions that we were mentioning. So around fertility, around cycle tracking, cancer screenings, and contraceptives have been another area.
Are there any particular companies that really stand out as getting a lot of attention or resources at the moment?
So I think for ourselves, meaning the World Bank Group, as we've been seeing sort of this upward trend in focus on women's health, we've also continued to focus our attention on the needs of women, especially in low-resource settings. And this year, we decided we really wanted to bring attention on what we see as a largely underserved need for women in our markets. So part of the, you know, the CES Awards this year that we ran with the Consumer Technology Association, the World Bank, and IFC, we had four winners come out of that with some really interesting solutions. We had a company called Inicell, which has an AI-powered fetal heart rate monitor, which is particularly useful in low-resource settings, so really in markets that are really relevant for the World Bank Group. And we had two winners that were in the breast cancer screening category. The idea, I think, with most of these digital health solutions is that, you know, when you bring these services to patients, you know, or to women, you know, in their home, the objective ultimately should be to, you know, reduce costs and improve the quality of care.
What's the role of femtech, say, in a market like here in the U.S. versus in some of these emerging markets that you were talking about?
Often the needs are not so dissimilar, frankly. When you think about areas like, you know, cervical cancer screening, obviously that happens with regularity in, you know, developed markets like the U.S. and may not be so accessible in emerging markets. Where the gaps are is in the access to the technology that can enable that screening to happen on a regular basis. And if you take something like breast cancer screening, I mean, you have a high prevalence of breast cancer for women in developing countries. What happens, unfortunately, is that most of the screening today is still done by self-examination. And so you frequently find women who have developed stage 3, stage 4 breast cancer, and you have a high prevalence of poor outcomes as a result. So what we want to try to do with this technology is actually try to find solutions that enable the screenings to happen earlier and more regularly, as they do in the U.S.
Monique Mrazek is a senior global health tech industry specialist for the International Finance Corporation. Before we get to related links, we'd like your help with an upcoming show, please. As many businesses are experiencing staffing shortages, That means customer service staff is often stretched a little thin. If you've had a recent experience where you ran into more bots or phone trees or automated services than you used to, we'd like to hear about it. You can leave us a voicemail about your experience and what kind of tech was involved at 802-877-TECH. Thanks. And now for some related links. You can read more about the winners Monique was talking about at our website, marketplacetech.org. We'll also have a link to a blog post on PitchBook with an overview of where the femtech industry is right now. According to that PitchBook data, investors have pumped more than $15 billion into the sector so far. The New York Times had a piece in April of last year about femtech as part of its Future of Healthcare series, pointing out the term itself is said to have been coined by the founder of that Clue app I mentioned earlier, Ida Tin. But as handy as the term is for journalists like me to describe the sector, one of our producers pointed me to a post on the Yale School of Medicine's student blog, which argues the term is kind of limiting. The author points out most of the current femtech market is dominated by products for sexual and reproductive health, and warns that by limiting tech advancements in women's health to just that part of health, we, quote, lose sight of many of the other important health issues women face every day. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.